Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ranting Gems Real Estate Podcast. My name is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700.
My name is MG the Mortgage Guy. Jeez, that's a lot.
Listen, and my name is Kiana Watson, broker extraordinaire, license number 317576. And I want you guys to know that today we have a phenomenal episode for you. We have Davon Reeves, okay? Davon Reeves. And I really wanted to bring someone on here. Like I said, I met her out and about, and she owns a hotel. Let me just say it one more time. She owns an entire hotel, and I wanted to have her to come on this podcast, share her gifts, give you guys some steps to help you dream bigger, because, you know, we like to play Monopoly around here. Uh-huh. So, you know, you buy four houses,
then you get a hotel.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my hotel. I need to know what to do.
I think we need to name this episode Monopoly or something
it
like
is.
That.
It is. Yeah. It's called Monopoly, baby.
This is deemed and proclaimed Monopoly.
Exactly.
All right. So let me ask you this first question. Let's get started, right? When did you fall in love with real estate?
Well, wow. When did I fall in love with real estate? Probably when I was working as a non-paid intern. Yeah, for a hotel consulting firm.
Okay.
Because I actually got my start off working in the industry, not through real estate, actually working as a front desk agent. So I never thought about owning a hotel, multi-family, anything. And everyone in my family owned a home, so that wasn't new, right? But my love for real estate came working as a non-paid intern.
Wow. And how long ago was this?
Probably about 7 or 8 years ago.
Damn. So from 7, 8 years, you went from non-paid to hotel owner.
Yeah.
Shit. That's a gem right there. Yeah. We need to share your story, sis. This is a safe place. We need to know.
You got to work hard, right? As you all know, that's why you're on the stage, right? So again, I got my start working as a front desk agent, working at a hotel, working at the Hyatt Regency Atlanta. And I never thought that you could own a hotel because the owners of that particular hotel is the Hyatt. So I didn't think anything of it. So after about 6.5 years working in the front office, I decided, I was like, I want to do something else. I still want to be in the hospitality industry, but I want to do something else. And so I was like, I want to get into asset management. I want to get into the transactional side. I wanted to do something else. And that's when this non-paid internship came along. And so I'm working there in the morning because I still hadn't paid my bills, because this was after college. So, and of course, my family was like, wait, Davon, how are you taking a non-paid internship after you graduate from college? That doesn't work. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah.
But I knew that my goal wanted to become a hotel owner. Again, I didn't know hotels were real estate. I didn't know I wanted to own a hotel. Right. And so I had to create my own roadmap. There wasn't Google back then. There wasn't, you know, Instagram. I don't think Instagram was really around.
There was two people on Instagram at that time.
Yeah, at that time Instagram wasn't like it is today.
Right. And then Facebook, I think you still had to have your like college, you know, email address to even be on. So it wasn't this community that we have now. So I had to create my own way. And working at that, again, that non-paid internship, that's when I learned about commercial real estate. That's when I learned about feasibility studies. That's when I learned about public-private partnerships, you know, because our clients at the time, they own thousands of acres of land. You know, they're coming into meetings on their own private planes. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is the life I want to be, right?
Okay. See?
Okay.
And so they were like, you know, we want to own hotels, just playing Monopoly again in real life. And so I left working at working full-time at a hotel, and I took that job full time. So I was there for about 2 years, And I wanted, again, I wanted something larger. I wanted to work for a larger firm. And that's when I moved to Boston. And that's when my eyes opened to really owning hotels. I mean, the reason why, because I was working on behalf of owners. I was working in asset management. So I was learning about financing, right? Okay. I was learning how people understand leverage.
Okay.
Learning how these larger companies, you know, they're essentially not really using their money to buy. I'm OPM. Like, wait a minute.
OPM.
I'm like, okay, but they doing the OPM on like $1 billion level.
But right. So what we want to do is we want to slow this down. Yeah. Can we just make sure we drop a gem where we always forget the value of unpaid things? We want to get paid to be a part of everything. And she took an unpaid position just to get the game.
Yeah.
She took an unpaid position, and now 8 years later, she owns her own hotel.
How long were you unpaid for?
3 months.
For 3 months. Okay. So 90 days.
A 90 day.
I like that. I like that. So what's the first step? Like, how do we go from, because we talk multifamilies, you know, everybody talks one, two duplexes, triplexes, quads, you know, 10 family units, but hotel, that's just a whole different ballgame.
Well, you gotta start with your mindset.
Oh, talk about the mindset.
You gotta start with your mindset. So, you know, it's like Monopoly, right? So you own, you literally buying the block. So, but you have to wrap your brain around that I can actually own this hotel. Because a lot of people don't realize that a hotel is an operating business sitting on real estate. So that's why it's so attractive, because not only are you owning the land, you're owning the building, and now you're owning the business. You know what I mean? And so you have to get your mindset and you have to wrap your brain around when you actually stay at a hotel that you can actually own it, right? Because people don't, because we don't, I mean, I didn't grow up thinking I could own a hotel. I didn't inherit one. But it wasn't until I started to expand my network and I started to join different organizations that were very diverse. It wasn't people that all looked like me. I was literally the only one in the room. But that's where I learned about hotel ownership, is people my age who are inheriting hotels, who are working for hotel ownership groups. And essentially, I had to change my mindset. I had to get out of my own way and be like, you know, they can do it, I can do it too. So I've always been curious. So I had to be curious. I had to ask questions. I had to be creative. Essentially, I think you mentioned before in a previous episode, I didn't see anyone who essentially looked like me. Mm-hmm. So I had to figure it out. But I had to start. I had to speak it with conviction, right? Mm-hmm. I had to say, okay, I want to be a hotel owner. I want to do this. I want to create wealth for myself and for generations that I'll never meet. But I have to believe it, right? Because people, you know, they say it, but you have to believe it. So going back to that mindset.
Mindset, first step.
That's the first step. Then the second step, finances.
Let's talk about finances.
You got to get your finances together, right?
Okay, so what do we need, right, to buy a hotel? How much money do we need?
Well, it depends on the hotel. Mm-hmm. I know y'all don't hear me say that word a lot because it does depend.
Okay. All
right. Right. So you can get, I've seen hotels selling for $450,000.
Wow.
How many rooms?
That's like 16 rooms. It's in the middle of nowhere, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's like a motel. It's not really a hotel. It's a motel.
Okay. It's a motel. Yeah. Okay.
I've worked on deals where the hotel sold for $1 billion.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Right.
Now we're talking.
So that was my portfolio while I was in Boston. I had a $1 billion portfolio. So that's what I'm saying. It all depends. But starting off, I always recommend first-time hotel owners to look into something that's probably less than $8 million. So that way you can take advantage of the SBA loan, you know.
Let's talk about
SBA loans.
Wait a minute.
There's a what? There's an SBA loan to buy a hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Let's write this down, please.
Wait a minute. We're going too fast.
That's too late, James. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me slow down.
Okay, wait a minute. So I want to own a hotel. I got my mind right. I've already decided I am capable. I am able. I am deserving. And I'm ready to buy a hotel. My recommended price point is $8 million. And SBA is going to help me buy that home.
Buy that
hotel. Let's talk about it.
How much financing are they going to give you on that?
Typically, you know, 10 to 20%. I would say start off with like 20% down.
So SBA will finance an $8 million hotel
probably
with 20% down?
I would say maybe not eight, maybe like 5 to 7, just to be on the safe side. $5 to $7 million
deal with 20% down with an SBA loan.
Yeah. And then you can get other, you know, some deals I've seen where they work with their local banks.
Damn. So now you get the SBA, the 80%, and now you can do what's called a capital stack. Mm-hmm. And you stack the money, you can get more money from other banks to bridge that gap.
Or you can bring in investors.
talk about this, Queen. We need to know.
I mean, yeah, let's sit back. Let's just break this.
I mean, you can bring in investors. A lot of people don't realize, you know, that you can use your retirement to invest in deals. You can use life insurance to invest in deals. So people don't realize, like, the stuff that I didn't realize this, but until I was around these circles, right? When I realized the true definition of OPM, that they weren't using, they were leveraging in there. Because hotels is a long-term investment. So anybody who's trying to get into hotels, this is not a quick rich. This is not an overnight flip. This is like you looking at 3 to 5 years. And then also going back to the steps, mindset, finance, but then what's your ownership thesis? So set up your criteria. So if you know that you want to stick with something that you can get something like an SBA loan, or you want to work with your community bank and they can provide financing for you if you're able to attain it, you need to figure out your criteria, what type of brands you want to look into. You know, what's the location? It's real estate. Location is the key, right?
Right.
Remember that 450,000? That was in the middle of nowhere. Okay. That's why it was 450,000.
Mm.
Yeah. But if you're talking about something in downtown Atlanta, you're not getting anything for 450,000.
Right.
Nothing.
So when you're evaluating, so you're like, okay, listen, I want to buy my first hotel. So I have my financing. So financing is in order. Just take us down with it. Like, is that kind of like the same thing, like buying a house, financing is in order that way or another way?
Gotta get pre-approval. Broker's not going to talk to you. If it's your first time buying a hotel, same thing. If you talking to someone who wants to buy a house,
mm-hmm.
I want to buy a house. Okay. I need your pre-approval. Right.
Okay.
So same thing with the hotel. If you're looking to talk to a broker, okay. They want to see your pre-approval.
Where do they find these brokers?
Brokers, there are major brokers. A good friend of mine, he's a broker. He works for Paramount Lodging Advisors.
Say that one more time.
Paramount Lodging Advisors. Another hotel broker is Marcus and Millchap. Hunter Advisors is here in Atlanta. So there are a lot of hotel brokers. There's only, I think, about four Black hotel brokers.
Mm.
And one of my friends, I'm giving him a shout out. His name is Omari Head. He's the hip hop hotel broker. Very good friend of mine. He's
the hip hop hotel
broker. Hip hop hotel broker.
Okay, so you can find that person
on
social
Instagram.
Media.
Yeah. Right. He stayed dropping gems. But he's transacted actually over 140 hotels.
Wow.
That's amazing.
We may need to get him on the pod.
Y'all need to bring him on. He's dope.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
But so finding a broker, actually starting off before you get to a broker, you want to actually work with like a consultant or an asset manager because then they can help you find a broker, right?
Okay.
Because a lot of time when people get into hotels, they think, oh, I've done so many multifamilies. I've done so many houses. It's the same thing. I can do it myself. No, you need to get people who have experience in hotels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because how are you analyzing these deals? Like, what's the formula? I can't remember the term off the top of my head. PAR, revenue?
Oh, RevPAR.
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 Yeah. What's RevPAR?
So RevPAR stands for revenue per available room. And essentially, that's just a metric to show how healthy your hotel is performing. And essentially, what you can use it as a benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
So the three top KPIs that we look for in hotels.
What's the KPI?
Thank you for that, because I just go on. But a KPI stands for key performance indicator.
Okay.
And so essentially what that is, you use that to track that. Anybody who's in business, they should be using some type of KPI to track whatever their performance,
yeah, yeah.
to measure their performance. And so essentially that's what a KPI is. And so the top three for hotels is occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so occupancy is, I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a 100-room hotel,
mm-hmm.
right? And 50 rooms have checked in. Now you're at a 50% occupancy, right? And so then another metric would be ADR, and that stands for average daily rate.
Okay.
And so essentially what that is all, it is so many different rate codes in the hotel. So let's say you're here for a conference, that's a rate code. Let's say, you know, you're traveling on AARP, that's a rate code. So now you're getting the average of all those different rates. And that'll determine as far as like how your performance year over year, how you're comparing to other hotels, how you're performing in the market. And then how you get to RevPAR is a combination of occupancy and ADR.
Wow. So,
love it.
So like when people book for blocks of rooms, for weddings and things, that's all considered in these metrics.
Correct. Yep. That's okay. All considered in these. Yep. Exactly. So ADR. So if a wedding block came, they'll have their own rate, right? Well, they mm-hmm. should if they negotiated. So they have a negotiated rate. You know, if you just walk in, there's a walk-in rate. If you're, you know, flying, if you're working for a crew, it's so many different rates as far as a family reunion rate. right? Wow. You know how if you ever gone to a family reunion yes. and you have a special rate code, they use it to track it, right? And so all of those are combined. Well, not combined, but those are, I won't say negotiated, but it just gives you an idea of all the different rate codes. And you use it at the end of the year, the end of the month, at the day, just to track and see how your hotel is performing.
So once you have all these metrics, then from there, the broker, the hotel broker will determine what type of financing you can approve for.
Well, that's a great question. So, I'm glad that you brought that up. That's another reason why you need to get someone who understands hotels, because all those metrics that I just spit out. Mm-hmm.
You do it all without breaking a sweat, and you do it all in style. From being a boss exec to getting the kids ready for school, checking homework, family dinners, lunches and brunches with your day ones, trips to the salon, and weekend getaways are anything but a getaway. That's why Infiniti fully reimagined the QX60 to help you conquer it all with ease. A luxury SUV as functional as it is stylish, and as versatile as it is serene. Even when you have back-to-back conference calls on top of the kids' basketball practices, not to mention your side hustles, it's all done with grace. The all-new Infiniti QX60 has available features like seating for up to 7 passengers, a suite of active safety features, and massaging front seats. It's the SUV designed to help you conquer life in style. Now, with extremely limited availability, contact your local retailer for inventory information.
If you don't understand hotels and you're looking to evaluate or you're looking to sell a hotel, you could possibly be having your client buy a hotel that's overvalued. And see how hotels are evaluated. They're really evaluated based off the business. The real estate, yeah, but it's really the business, right? And so it's three things that makes a hotel successful: location, brand, and operator. Right. And so those are what banks are typically looking at. Right. Mm-hmm. If you got all three and you have someone who has experience managing a hotel, because at the end of the day, you a mortgage, all they care about is just getting their money back.
That's a fact.
That's all banks care about. Right. Yeah. Are you going to pay your debt service? Am I going to? That's it. Anything outside of that?
What's debt service for those who don't
debt
know?
Debt service is mortgage. It's just a mortgage. Yeah.
So when you talking about now I've gotten my stuff together, mm-hmm. I found me some investors. So most people do find investors or get backing to buy that first hotel, right?
Oh, but I've yet to see a hotel where it was one person.
So you basically, how we do crowdfunding on our end, we need to get our minds around, you know, because there's some people like, I don't want to invest with other people. But if you have that mindset, you wouldn't recommend them to get into the hotel business?
If Fortune 500 companies invest with others, why can't we invest with others?
That's a gem.
Can you say that
loud? Say it louder, because we always act like we can't work together.
We got cheers to that
cheers
one.
Cheers to that one.
Because collaboration is greater than competition.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Collaboration I say that all the time over competition, right? So people, that's another thing, going back to that mindset, where we feel like that we have to do everything on our own. No, and I kind of thought that too, until, again, working in a non-paid intern, working in asset management, working in consulting, and I started to see these multi-billion dollar firms working with other people. Mm. I said, wait a minute, y'all don't need them. You don't even need a bank to buy a hotel.
That's a fact.
Like, this one company, they bought over $400 million hotel. They didn't need a bank. But they understand leverage. And they brought in other investors.
So they understood that they want to use other people's money and keep their capital where their capital
is. Less risk. A lot of people, when you put all your eggs in one bag, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And something happens, now that's all that risk associated on you. But now if you spread the risk, that's less risk on your portfolio. Mm.
I love that. So let's talk about the crowdfunding part, because I just want people to know, like, one step. So when you're looking at different hotels, what hotel brands would you say would be good for a beginner hotel investor? And I know you looked all over the country all before you even found the hotel that you're in. So this is one question, then we get to the second one. Give them three hotel brands that you feel like will be good for beginner investors when it comes to owning a hotel.
That's a great question, and I'm going to ask you a question to clarify. It depends on your strategy, your investment strategy. Do you want to focus more on cash flow, or do you want more of a buy and hold?
I want the cash.
Flow. Cash is king, baby.
I can say that with all honesty.
Yeah, okay. Cash
flow. And the reason why I'm saying that, because it's two different strategies.
Well, break them down both.
So okay. I'm gonna do the first one is cash flow. So if you want to do cash flow, the top three. Oh my gosh. Top three, I would say a Choice property. Okay. Choice brand. So I don't know if you ever heard of like Comfort Inn & Suites Cambria. Yeah. All of those are a part of Choice. And the reason why I say Choice, because they're one of the very few brands that actually has an initiative to encourage African Americans to own a hotel. An incentive in place.
Shit, why we didn't know that?
We didn't know that. We know now.
We know now. How? That's a damn sure gem, because why are they not out here marketing this to us and we can know these things?
Well, our industry, I love our hospitality industry. They market within the industry.
Got it.
Like, you know, the rich get richer, huh?
Basically.
You know, it's just, and I'm a different generation. I'm a different color, right? So I have a different platform. So, but I'm here to say that, yeah.
So choice.
And the reason why, because they have more of what we call economy brands, and those are like your Econo Lodge, you know, again, cash flow. You know, the Indians own over 50% of the hotels in the United States, the Indian community from India. And the reason why, because they start off with cash flow, that cash flow model, starting off with like a Econo Lodge or a Motel 6. So that's why I'm starting off with. And then the reason I'm saying choice, because they have that incentive program. So then probably the next brand, I would actually say Motel 6.
Okay.
Motel 6
is a part of G6. That's the brand. Look at Motel 6. I don't know if they have any incentives for African-American, but that's a good place to start. Right. I'm sure everybody has driven by and seen some of Motel 6.
Absolutely.
And I always wonder how they stayed in business. But then when you think about it on the other side, it's like somebody got to stay somewhere. Yeah.
And that owner is very happy.
I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure.
That owner. And that's how they start their portfolio with that model, starting off with that cash flow. Because think about during COVID. It was all these truck drivers.
I know exactly what happened.
And when they needed a place to stay, where they stay?
Right. Yeah, they're not staying at the St. Regis.
They're not staying at the St. Regis. They're staying right at that Motel 6. Mm. They may stay at that Comfort Inn & Suites. That's what they're saying. And they were saying, and actually, here's another gem. Those type of hotels performed very well during COVID.
Talk about
affordable.
That.
Affordable. And just think about it. You know, families who are driving from, you know, New York to Florida to Disney World and stuff. This is pre-COVID and post-COVID. And they see a nice, comfortable, you know, Motel 6 or, you know, Comfort Inn & Suites or Hampton Inn or something on the side of the road. Something that's affordable for them to stay and feed those kids. That's where they're going to stay.
Man, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, because MG wants to be where the Wagyu is.
MG wants
to be at the St. Regis, take me down to the Four Seasons.
That's right. You can stay there, but then you can own a Comfort Inn & Suites.
No, that can pay for my stay at the
Regis. That's Regis. The thing.
Yeah. House hack.
It's house hacking.
Hotel hacking.
Okay,
so can we hack a hotel?
Can you hack?
Yeah.
Wait, actually, you can.
Come on. Talk to us.
She didn't finish number three.
Oh, my bad.
Go to the third one. I'm mentally taking notes.
Okay, so we have, I'd say a choice. I said Motel 6. And the next one, it's so hard. I guess Wyndham?
Wyndham. Okay.
Wyndham will be good. Mm. The reason why Wyndham will be good, they have Days Inn. What other brands do they have?
I've seen tons of Days Inn in the streets.
Days Inn been around, you know, since our grandparents been alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Been growing up.
Yeah,
so it's a brand. It's an established brand. Good cash flow. Microtel. They have Microtel under the Wyndham brand. Can I add a fourth one?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Bonus.
So fourth one would be a Best Western.
I've seen those everywhere.
I've seen them everywhere.
And the reason why I would say Best Western, because Best Western, think of the other three that I mentioned, the first three brands, think of them as banks and think of the Best Western as a credit union. So Best Western has more of a membership model.
Mm.
So that's why I would say a Best Western.
Perfect. See?
That's a gem.
That's a gem right there. Four gems.
Y'all got that? Shit, we're about to get some hotel money in this
business. He's trying to get the hotel money.
So, go ahead, Keanu. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. Now, I asked those questions.
I wanted to know about, like, hacking, right? Because I'm all about house hacking and things
of
that nature.
It's so funny. I didn't even think about it until you said it. But that's actually how a lot of these communities, they grew their portfolio because they lived in the hotel them and their family, they all work in the hotel to save, you know, labor and cost and everything. And yeah, essentially, there's a lot of the older hotels, the newer hotels you won't see. They have typically what you call like an owner suite or the GM suite. Mm-hmm. And it's like an actual like apartment, like kitchen, washing, everything in there. It's just that with a lot of newer hotels, the owner suites aren't in the buildings. But if you find like the exterior corridors, like where you have to like, you go into your room from the outside, that's when you see a lot of the general manager suite where you can live in. So, yeah.
Interesting. So yeah. Buy the hotel, live in it.
Mm-hmm. Hire your family.
What you could do, and this is a gem, you could bring your general manager to incentivize your general manager. Because again, you don't want to be in there checking folks in and doing all the work. You bring in your general manager, give them as part of their compensation package, and they can live in the hotel.
Jim.
Damn.
Jim.
Yeah, super gems. I like this so far. So, yeah, this is interesting because now my mind is just sitting here like,
damn. Why do you think I said, listen, yeah. Davon? She always, my head was spinning. Every time I sit down with her, my head just gets spinning because I'm thinking, why was I thinking so small? You know, so I hope that you guys are feeling the same way. It's like, why was I limiting myself?
No, that's a fact, because I never thought in a million years about ever owning a hotel, even thinking about buying a hotel. And now from what you're telling me, like, this makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. To own a hotel.
I wouldn't say limited. It was more so the exposure and the knowledge.
Absolutely.
We don't talk about owning hotels in our community, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about buy your house, keep it in the family, yes. Pass it down, you know, save grandmama's house. But in any community, they have hotels floating around like it's nothing. I'm telling you, it's people who own hotels that are like 19.
What?
Wow.
Exactly. That's why I had to say youngest African American. I was very specific with that because it's an Indian who owns a hotel. Like this, one of my girlfriends, she's way younger than I am. She owns like 3 hotels.
Damn.
Because they inherit them.
Generational wealth.
Wow. So I was like, you get a hotel. Yeah, that's how it is.
Damn, they're like Oprah?
Exactly. You like literally. And so what, now they have a different mindset. So they like, I want a Days Inn. I want a True by Hilton.
Damn.
You see what I'm saying?
So they're
like,
upgraded.
I want a Hyatt now.
Mm. Damn. So from a cost perspective, right, like expenses, like how expensive is it to run a hotel? There. Because I know we're talking all this good stuff, right? Because I'm just thinking about when I stay in hotels, I mean, I've been to hotel parties. Like, it's crazy sometimes,
trashy.
Right?
That's an expense.
Like, how does that work? Because that got to kill your bottom line, especially with COVID. You know, people wasn't traveling like they are now. America's opening up. People are traveling. But people took a lot of losses in the hospitality industry. So how did COVID really affect your business?
Well,
and expenses and everything like that.
Well, we actually acquired the hotel during COVID.
Mm. Mm. Turned the pandemic to a
bandemic, baby.
Yeah, that's a motherfucking gem. I told y'all it was pandemic season.
You did.
You sis buying hotels during the pandemic.
The whole entire hotel.
Talk to us about this.
So we you would understand this because you in the mortgage business. We took advantage of this is a true gem. I'm like, they need to take the course for what I'm about to say.
Okay, so you can share just enough. Just give them just enough.
But you're familiar with note sales.
Yeah.
Sub-2s, and that's essentially how we took advantage of our...
What's a sub-2 for those who don't know?
So a sub-2 is essentially what that is you're taking over the mortgage, right? You're mm-hmm. taking over the debt. And so essentially what we did, the previous owner, due to COVID and had other properties, one of the hotel that we required wasn't able to hold on to it. And so we were able to take advantage of what is called a note sale. So for those who are looking to get into the hotel business, I'm starting to see more and more hotels that are being for sale using note sales. And essentially, you just take over the note. It's like you're one person in it. So the original seller is in the driving, the driver's seat. And then I come over. I'm like, hey. And so either the old seller sits in the passenger seat or gets out. But either way, now I'm now in the driver's seat.
I'm the driver now.
With the mortgage.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
You're the captain now.
I love it.
That's
I love
interesting.
It. So when
you
didn't
do even
this,
think about it. Look, I'm looking at your mind because you're like, wait a minute, what? I can do this all day.
Listen.
So you can assume somebody's note.
Oh yeah.
In the hotel world.
Oh yeah.
What kind of terms do they offer? Because they ain't throwing your fixes.
Oh no.
What they offering? 5-year, 7-year, 10-year? Come on, Queen, talk to us.
Oh, I forgot. I'm trying to think. I got so many deals in my head. I'm trying to think of the terms that we got.
That's what I'm talking about. Sis got so many deals in her head.
Oh, no, I am. I'm really thinking. I don't want to say the wrong, I don't want to say the wrong deal. I will say this one deal that we had to pass up, the deal definitely wasn't favorable. It was a note sale. I'm still sad about this one. It was a portfolio sale.
Okay.
Let me tell you how good these note sales are right
Come
now.
Come on. All right, guys. So look, I want you guys to join our community. The Rants and Gems Certified Gem Dropper community is the place to be. Rants and Gems is more than a podcast. This is a community and a movement like no other. And our listeners, we want to make sure that you guys are shattering your real estate goals. Now, if you're part of the Certified Gem Dropping community, not only will you get access to all the episodes before we drop them, okay, you're also going to get first dibs on our pop-ups, our networking events, discounts on Rants and Gems merch coming soon.
You do it all without breaking a sweat, and you do it all in style. From being a boss exec to getting the kids ready for school, checking homework, family dinners, lunches and brunches with your day ones, trips to the salon, and weekend getaways are anything but a getaway. That's why Infiniti fully reimagined the QX60 to help you conquer it all with ease. A luxury SUV as functional as it is stylish, and as versatile as it is serene. Even when you have back-to-back conference calls on top of the kids' basketball practices, not to mention your side hustles, it's all done with grace. The all-new Infiniti QX60 has available features like seating for up to 7 passengers, a suite of active safety features, and massaging front seats. It's the SUV designed to help you conquer life in style. Now, with extremely limited availability, contact your local retailer for inventory information.
Also, discount ticket prices to the Live and Rants and Gems live experience and other events featuring Kiana and myself. Not only will you get all these perks, but you're also going to get live Q&As every single month from past guests. So look, hit the link in the description of this video. Join the Rants and Gems Certified Gem Dropping community today, and don't get left behind with your real estate goals. So tap in with us. Kiana and I are waiting to speak to you guys. Peace.
This is not, we didn't close on it. It didn't work out. But it was, the note was $10 million, but it was worth $20
million. Oh, wow. Okay.
It was a two hotel portfolio. $10 million, the note, but it was actually valued at $20 million.
Mm. Why didn't y'all close?
The seller.
He backed out.
It just made it. He didn't want to get out the car. Remember that analogy I was saying?
Yeah. Okay.
He wanted to stay in the passenger seat and then tell you how to drive and then be in the back. It was just a lot. Yeah. So it just didn't work out.
Okay.
Got it. So you got to get out the car.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. So you want me to drive? Then I got to take directions. But you messed up your hotel. That's why we in this position. You know what I mean? So it was just. It just didn't work
out. Damn, so you can really sit out here and find distressed hotel owners.
All the time.
How do we find that?
You know, having relationships with the bank, having relationships. It's all about relationships, you know, debt service providers. Have relationship with lenders, having relationships with management companies and owners. You know, a lot of times owners don't even use. When you get to a certain level, you don't really deal with brokers. You deal with only certain brokerage firms that can handle those sophisticated deals. So sometimes I get wholesalers. You cannot wholesale a hotel.
I was about to ask that. I'm like,
saying this again for somebody to come to my inbox. You cannot, and I can spot them. Like we can, hotel people can spot wholesalers.
And so you can't wholesale a hotel.
No.
It's kind of like taboo. It's not the thing to do.
No, it's not. I mean, for one, because you don't even know how to evaluate it. Like, you
Got
know what
it.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember one time somebody was trying to sell me like a Ritz-Carlton on a Word document. I'm like, what are you doing?
This is legit.
On a Word document. You know, it's like, what are you doing?
So basically she said, do not get it. This is a very, very valuable seat she is. She is the captain. Come over here with knowing what you know and your stuff, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, nobody's going to take you. Yeah, nobody. Because, and another thing is with brokers, you know, because you want to have control of the deal. So wholesalers, you working with the broker. Like, I've seen wholesalers who came to me, because typically the hotel world is small. So we've seen the deals before. I can just call up a broker, like, you know, this deal. Oh, yeah. And a wholesaler try to sell me the deal from the broker of the broker. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, they're doing, so that's
they're
not
doing too much.
So good thing, yeah. So one thing about the hotel industry, it sounds like to me, you got to have the right relationships.
Yeah, you
got to be a part of the right organizations.
Yeah.
So let's just talk bottom line numbers. When you are evaluating a hotel, now you say this is for the long haul.
Yeah.
You know, this is not like flipping a house and making me six figures real quick.
Yeah.
But everybody got to get paid. I mean, you're looking beautiful today.
Well,
you showed up. I mean, I say, you know,
I'm
looking
I'm,
like
I'm
money.
I'm on the stage with Miss Kiana. I was like, I better come correct.
Look, I can't keep up, so I ain't gonna try. Like,
so let's just talk about like how do you evaluate your hotels and what are the potential profits that you can get from just a typical hotel, like, you know, humbly speaking, a $5 million hotel, because it sounds like to me a $5 million hotel is just like, it's like somebody buying a $100,000 house.
Yeah, it is.
Ooh,
it really is. Like buying a hotel, when you get in a hotel community, it's like you bought a house. It's like, it's really not a big deal. It's like, oh, congrats.
You know?
It's like, I have one, and they're like, oh, I got 50. It's, you know, it's not a competition, but it's just, you know.
Yeah. Humbly speaking.
It's really humbly speaking.
Yeah, I got 50.
Yeah, literally, that's exactly how they say it. Yeah, I got 57. Yeah. But anyway, as far as, so I'm more of a buy and hold person.
Okay.
And so typically the margins I look for, margins, really the percentages or ROI, that ROI stands for return on investment, I typically look for, going back to my ownership thesis or investment criteria, I look at least 20% return on investment. I look at brands. I'm not really brand agnostic. Like I can, as long as the brand makes sense, right? Depending on, I'm more of a location person,
mm-hmm.
right? So going back to what I said before, location, brand, and operator. So I'll talk about my hotel. My hotel is in Oklahoma. It's in El Reno. It's on the main, now El Reno, it is nothing in El Reno. It's beautiful. Actually, I should go visit. It's a beautiful lake. It's a great hotel. It's a home to suite by Hilton, 85 rooms. So actually, yes, it is. But the hotel is next to an interstate. It's like literally along the interstate, a major interstate. So again, a lot of these truck drivers, a lot of people driving back and forth. So that's why it's a great location. Brand. So I look at, it was a Hilton brand. Hilton is number two in the world. Operator. We actually brought in an operator. We brought in Commonwealth. So they operate the day-to-day. So that's why I'm able to sit here on the stage with you beautiful people.
I love it.
Because Commonwealth, they're doing an amazing job running the day-to-day operations. So as far as those are the things that I look for, as far as value-add opportunities, a distressed property looks like, it looks like if we can come in, if I can come in and bring an operator, it depends on if the market can hold it, how much renovation I had to put in. So I don't know how it works in, I think it's an ARV and resident, I don't know.
Yeah, after renovated value. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we don't talk like that in hotels. So this sometimes, like, I have to, like,
yeah,
try to understand. But so we call PIPs. So PIP is like a renovation. So PIP stands for Property Improvement Plan.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so that means we're seeing, you know, how much it would cost if the hotel needs renovated. My hotel didn't need renovated. It was built in 2017. We acquired in 2020. So it's the fairly new hotel. Typically, brands, they want you to renovate. They have brand standards. I don't know if you've gone to different hotels and one day it's like, oh, they changed and they got this new sofa and they have this new design because they meet the different brand standards. But as an owner, you have to pay for it.
Okay.
So one thing about being a hotel is the franchise. So you're buying into a franchise, right? Mm. And so you have to abide by their rules if you want to be a part of their franchise. It can be expensive. So that's why I said choice, because it's not as expensive as a Marriott and a Hyatt and a Hilton. So it's a little bit more feasible for someone who's just getting into the space as far as managing that PIP.
So if I buy a hotel and I buy through a brand, now I have to buy the franchise also with that brand and pay franchise fees as well?
Yeah, you'll have to pay a franchise. You have to buy, if anyone who's familiar with franchising, so you buy into the franchise, you have to apply.
So they could decline you, essentially.
And you won't get your application back, your application money back.
Oh, you got to pay?
And how much is your application fee?
It can start from, you know, 5 figures to 6 figures.
What? For a fucking application?
Yeah.
6 figures.
Yeah.
Listen, I done forgot we was even on this podcast. Yeah. I lost my breath. Wait a minute.
So it's expensive. So some people, you know, I'm very transparent. If you want to get into this space, you definitely want to have...
So you mean it's no 100% finance or no money down? No. It's no grant programs for this?
No, no grant program. Now, there are incentives. I'll take that back.
Okay.
So if you want to develop, developing a hotel, it costs more to acquire, but there are more incentives.
Okay.
So you can get, incentives depending on if your local, you know, municipality, if they're in need for a new hotel. Sometimes the brands, they'll work with you. But again, you have to work with someone who's experienced. Because sometimes if you don't know, you don't know what to ask for. Like some people, they wouldn't even know to go to the city and ask for tax incentives. Experienced developers know. But people who are just starting out, they wouldn't know.
So you get the tax incentives from the state or the county.
Yeah, wherever. If they have it available. Yeah.
Tax abatements and all that other stuff.
Yeah, they have it available.
So that's where we're just trying to find where the money reside. You know, we're like, okay, I own this hotel. So now you're talking about, you know, a lot of that has a lot to do with your vacancy rate, has a lot to do with your rate and how you kind of get all these other programs out here. So you got the walk-in rate. And I didn't even know that. So you just charging me an extra fee because I walked in the door. But if I walk outside and go on the app, I'm going to get charged a different fee.
You get cheaper.
Yeah.
And that's why they have like all these different websites.
All these different apps and stuff. Yeah, it's just a disruptor. Yeah, I mean, some hotels even use Airbnb to market their
Ooh, use. Speaking of Airbnb, since you brought it up.
Since you brought it up,
exactly.
I mean, I've seen hotels that Airbnb their rooms. I've seen some hotels meeting space that was on Pier Space.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
All it is just another revenue stream. Like, you on there looking for a space, I might as well add my hotel.
So if you're in a brand, they don't restrict you.
It depends now.
Okay.
It depends. It depends on which brand.
Because
you have to follow their rules. So it depends. It's not like...
This is a lot.
Yeah. So that's why some people, I hear it a lot. Oh, I want to start my own brand. And I'm just like thinking in my head, okay, for one, it's very expensive to start your own brand. It is. I'm sure the Kiana brand, it would be luxury and great and beautiful, but it would be very expensive.
Oh, no, I'm just going to jump on somebody's bandwagon. St. Regis me, choice me, please.
Thank you.
Choice me, please. You said incentive. Choice me, please. Because that's a whole nother
ballgame. You don't have to say it. You just, you
Because you know what I look at it, when I look at just individual businesses, right? You own a couple of houses. You put it on Airbnb, right? You can... put your furniture in there. You could do all these things to give the certain type, to attract a certain clientele. But it's just like, it's convenience, it's location, and it's, okay, somebody told me this place was luxurious, but I don't see any major commercials or campaigns for hotels. Like, I see a little something, like, you know, you got certain names where you're like, okay, tonight I'm just going to go to bed, so I'm going to Hampton Inn, or today is a luxurious night. This is a date night. You better take me to the St. Regis. It's different, but you don't see these huge campaigns for that. So it's kind of like each hotel is already marketed and put into this kind of category of what they can offer and what they can make. So I'm trying to figure out how you can make more money.
Hospitality industry, I love my industry, but sometimes it can be a little antiquated and won't keep up with the times when it comes to marketing and attracting new guests. So you're right, you don't see a lot of commercials. Yeah. I think I do see more Hilton.
Yeah.
They're trying to do more lifestyle. Yeah. So to attract, and then hotels have what you call soft brands. And so what a soft brand is essentially it's like an independent hotel, but you're still taking advantage of the major hotel's franchise or reservation system. So Marriott has Autograph, Hilton has Curio, Choice has the Ascend Collection. It's so many, so I don't want to get them confused. But essentially you can take advantage of that, right? So essentially, you know, You still have to pay the application fee. You can still kind of have your own uniqueness about it. You can kind of name it whatever you want. You still, the brands, they do have some structure, but it's a little loose, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of market a little bit differently to attract a different type of guest.
Perfect.
Man, this is an interesting conversation here. I don't think I was justifying your interview.
I know,
because it's like a lot.
I'm a consultant, so I have a consultant mind. This is just.
But the good thing about it is you are a consultant.
Yeah.
So let's just say all these people in the room today, if everybody had this amount of dollars and it's I don't know, 60 people. How much with the, you know, I'm a dollars and cents type of person. How many dollars does each person need to have, say 60 people, and they band together? What's next step, what they need to do to come together and own a hotel? Because like you said, a lot of it can be cash flow and some of it can just be the property values, and these values are going up. So it's not like $100,000 in equity. I would imagine if I own a hotel, I'm talking $1 million in equity in a couple of years. So that's the game. That's the real game.
Yeah, yeah, that's the real game.
Let's talk about that.
The million in equity, pay me in equity.
Pay me in equity every time.
Yeah, seven-figure
equity. It's a gym.
That's a fucking gym. I like seven figures.
Let's talk about that.
I usually don't say that out loud in public, but yeah, I'm gonna drink to that. I would say minimum, you know, y'all probably can get something with the, at least if everybody put in like 20 to 25,000.
Okay.
Really? What can we get for
exactly
25,000 a pop?
Probably like, you know, something that's like probably like 5 to 6, 7 million.
Perfect. And then so really the equity play is the long, that's the long haul. That's the real play when it comes to hotels.
Yeah, because see with crop, so from my understanding, just hearing what I hear from my friends who are in residential and they look for investors, they don't really give their investors equity. They just give them a percentage in return.
Yeah.
Well, hotels are different. When you get investors, they get a portion of the equity. They may not get voting rights or control. That's how I structure my deals. All the investors, they get a percentage of equity.
Voting rights, structure. Let's talk about how you structure like an investment group.
So every deal is structured differently. I definitely recommend that you get a CPA. I'm so glad that you said that earlier. Yes, a CPA, certified public accountant. Make sure you get that. Also, make sure that you want to get an attorney, a hotel, someone who specializes in that, or and if you're looking to raise capital, look to get a securities attorney, because you do not want the SEC or the IRS
coming at you for raising capital illegally.
There are three letters that I do not deal with, and I don't
You don't
want
need
to.
The alphabet boys when you're back.
No. I surely have my securities lawyer, and so that's what you want to do to structure, because you're dealing with securities on a larger scale. Right. Mm. And securities meaning, you know, if you're seeking out a return or dividends, that's what it means when it comes to security. So typically how I structure my deals, typically raise capital from private investors, give them a equity based off their portion, and then give them a percentage of the profits. And so on a quarterly basis. And then, you know, you get your really true value when you sell the hotel. So then they'll get their full investment back. And it depends on the hotel too. It depends on how, so that's where I come in as an asset manager, managing the asset to make sure that my investors come in. So if you meet anybody who is like, hey, I want you to invest in this hotel, because I'm pretty sure there are going to be a whole bunch of people now.
Yes.
Saying, I got a deal that I want you to invest in, and they ain't never done anything. They don't have a team together. So when you're investing in a deal, make sure you do your research. And this is just for anything that you invest in. Make sure you do your research. You know, what kind of experience do they have? Have they ever worked? Somebody on that team has to have some type of hotel experience, because the lender won't approve it. Now, lending is tougher now because of COVID.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
How has the lending been impacted by COVID-19 in your industry?
So I had one of my clients, they were about to close on I think it was $48 million. Yeah, $48 million hotel deal. And they lost their financing. It was a new construction loan. COVID, they missed it by 45 days because of COVID.
Damn. Mm. Mm. Done.
Now we got to restart the entire process over.
Wait a minute. So there are lenders out there that's going to give you acquisition and construction on these hotels?
Yeah. And then even some, you'll get some will do, if you can't get the full thing, I think some they'll give you, depending on what you can find someone that does a mezzanine loan, mm-hmm. Or a bridge loan. And then you have folks who will cover the construction.
What's a mezzanine loan?
Yes.
Mezzanine loan is, it's kind of help you get to that financing as far as for the construction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that. You could probably explain it better than I can.
No, not in the hotel world.
I'm trying to make sure that I don't overcomplicate
that's
it.
That's above me.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, essentially what a mezz loan is, it's just like a gap to kind of, if you can't get all of your financing for construction, and so you may need like some money to kind of cover you until you get your construction, because you still have other things that you have to, you know, pay for, like the building, and it's just sitting there. So you get what is called like a mezz loan. And so sometimes it's like, you know, some people can get the mezz loan, but they can't get the construction loan.
Yeah.
And some people can't get the construction loan, some people can get the mezz loan.
Yeah.
And so typically when you work with, and but that is a whole, that's a whole nother level.
Yeah, that's a whole nother place. Yeah.
That's a whole nother, like first time hotel owners, they not dealing with that. And if you are a first time hotel or dealing with that, you have multiple hundred million dollars of real estate in your portfolio for you to be having that conversation.
So how important is your experience as, you know, just an investor, period, right? Whether you're owning multifamilies, because you just said $100 million worth of whatever, right? But if someone's coming from the residential and maybe they own, let's just say 100 doors, you know, maybe they own 30, 40 properties. Is it easier for them to get financing from these banks coming from that multifamily investor world, residential kind of sort of commercial, versus going in down to the hospitality industry?
They need to have someone on their team with the experience.
Okay.
And the reason why it's even more crucial than ever, because during COVID, experienced hoteliers lost their hotel and had to give it back to the bank.
Damn.
So now you got this first time hotel owner who say, oh, you know, I got like 50 doors. And the bank's like, that's great. But have you ever operated a hotel before?
Right.
You need to have somebody on your team, whether it's the management company, an asset manager, somebody has to be on your team. Meaning when you send your information to the bank, as far as, you know, essentially like a pitch deck. For those who don't know what a pitch deck is, it's just essentially giving an overview of what your project, who's on your team, the financial projections, you know, the competition. It's just giving you it's just giving the bank and your potential investors an overview of your project. It's essentially telling the story to say, I can get this deal done and I can make money and pay you your money back. That's essentially what a pitch deck is.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Man, you're giving out a lot of information about this hotel game. And I know there's a lot that you're not covering right now.
Oh, yeah. This is just scratching the surface.
That's why I wanted to ask you. So,
yeah.
If someone wanted to own a hotel and they have some money, like, oh, I got about $50,000 and I want to be a part of, I at least want to get my foot in the door.
Yeah.
Is that where you come in?
Yeah, I mean, you can invest, you know, I don't have any deals right now, but if you wanted, I would say start off as a passive investor. So a passive investor is someone who wants to invest privately, like through a crowdfund or invest through REITs, real estate investment trust, or invest privately. I would start that way, because you could start with like $50,000 or, you know, $10,000, depending on the deal. And then transition to someone to active. Now, if you have more access to cash or more access to capital, because I've seen people who use lines of credit to invest come in with $150,000 to $200,000 because they had that line of credit to invest. So sometimes you can use it as leverage to partner where you can actually get on a deal as a GP, right?
Nice.
And GP stands for general partner. And so that means you're stepping into that ownership role. So that could be some ways as far as some strategies that you can get on your deal. But it goes back to your investment thesis and criteria, what you really want to do.
Thank you. Well, I want to say this.
Man.
We're about to wrap up this episode.
I'm sorry. Was it too much?
No,
I get too excited.
If anybody has any questions,
please get over there.
So. And for now, while we wait for anyone that may have a question, we got to ask you a rant and a gem about your industry.
Okay.
Because one thing about it, every industry has their rants and every industry has their gem. So let's start off with a rant about your industry, something that is just your pet peeve in your industry.
Can it just be an industry or can it just be a kid?
Go ahead.
So I've been seeing a lot of this on Instagram about manifestation. You have to do the work. Not just put together no offense to any vision boards, nothing against that. You have to do the work. You just can't say it and it'll happen.
Yeah.
Like, it drives me crazy. You have to, now you can say it. Now I do want you to say it because I say my things, but you have to speak it with conviction and you have to do the work and you have to stay focused. Without focus, there's no such thing as manifestation. Mm. So you can't say, I want to become, you know, a millionaire, but you over there spending all your money. And you're not focused on one thing. I just want to buy every ebook, take every class, do all this. And you're not focused on one thing. You have to follow your passion, the money will come. So many people are, that's a whole nother podcast, I'm sure.
Well, but the rant, that got that rant, baby. No, I felt that one.
Yeah, I felt that one too.
It just drives me crazy. So just stay with your passion. Focus on your goal. The money will come. Because people, you know, when you know how when you go to the supermarket and you hungry and you buy the whole store? That's because you hungry. So when you out here buying all this stuff, you hungry for learning. So you have to take the time and focus so that way you can really, that way you can make the right decision. That way you can do your research and that way you won't be wasting money and time. Mm.
Go ahead. You better preach, girl. You better preach.
All right, what's the gem? Give us, not that you haven't given us enough gems, but give us one gem or even where to get started, one step, something. Give us a gem about your industry. Something you love about it.
I do love that the hospitality industry is one of the few industries. It's a big economic driver, right, for jobs. So I'm very fortunate to be in a position where I can employ a lot of people, not only with the job, but with the career, providing benefits, you know, providing dental insurance, you know, providing travel benefits. You know, you can start off from a front desk agent and now become a hotel owner. And I'm very fortunate that I created a platform where people can, they wanted to do it, but now that they know it's possible, that someone that looks like me, who's a little, who is brown, but they black and they not, because usually you see a lot of people who are from the Indian community owning hotels and they're like, now this sister is owning something. And, and so that's a gem that the hospitality industry, you can start off literally from being a dishwasher and becoming a CEO.
I love it.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Look, so we got a question from our lovely studio audience. Introduce yourself.
My name is Dominique. I'm here from Miami.
I just came from Miami for this?
Yes, I do.
I love it.
Shout out to you.
Thank you.
More wine.
I just want to say that you have opened my mind to so much more. I feel like, Kiana, like I was thinking so micro, like so small. And kudos to you for even owning a hotel. Like that is just, that's so bomb. But my question is, would you suggest getting into the industry with zero knowledge?
With zero knowledge?
Like about the hospitality industry.
I would definitely say do your research. There are a lot of organizations out here. NABHOOD, which stands for National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, and Developers.
Say that again.
NABHOOD is the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, and Developers. That's an organization. Their goal is to increase the percentage of African Americans. AHOA, which stands for the Asian American Hotel Owners Association. They have a lot of free information. So I would say definitely do your research before you jump and make a major investment. Because again, we just went through COVID. So some people lost money. So you want to make sure that you're educated on what you're doing because it is a very capital intensive industry. And I would hate to see that you're losing your money jumping into something that you didn't educate yourself on.
Okay.
And don't you offer education?
I do.
So as we wrap up this episode, don't worry about it. I want her to talk about where they can find you, what you stand for, what you offer as far as your consultant firm and all that good stuff. Tell everybody all about you and where they can find you.
Thank you. So my on Instagram at Davon Reeves, so D-A-V-O-N-N-E Reeves, R-E-A-V-E-S on Instagram. I have an upcoming mastermind for those who are like really serious and really related to buy a hotel. I have a mastermind coming up in a couple weeks, so just go to my Instagram.
Where at? Because I'm coming.
It's online.
I need to learn about this.
Yes.
This is gonna be intense. You gotta do the homework. By the time you finish this mastermind, you should be able to put an LOI somewhere.
Letter of intent. Yeah. LOI.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I have a goal to create 221 hotel owners and investors this year. Black. So I'm definitely almost there. I've created some investors who've actually invested in some hotels. I have some other deals, and I have a large project that's coming up. So I can't wait to announce it. But to help people create generational wealth and wealth for not even generational. Create wealth for your family. Create wealth for you first, and then that way you can pass it down to your family.
Yeah, I love it.
No, this was My mind is still like, I got so much in my brain right now.
This was an enlightening episode, right?
Like, it definitely stretched my thinking because I was just thinking multifamilies, commercials, and now you got me thinking about hospitality and really learning this business. So thank you for coming on the show and giving us your time and your intellectual property. Most important, we definitely appreciate that. So this was a great episode, guys. I don't know about y'all, man, but this queen is over here killing the game.
Yes.
So y'all give her a round of applause. This was great. She's going to be here, so ask her questions off camera. You should have been here, YouTube, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, so we're going to wrap this one up, right? So this is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And this is Kiana Watson, license number 317576. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Rants and Gems Show.
All right. Peace.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.